Welcome to the Switch Leader Podcast, where we decide today the leader we will be tomorrow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Switch Leader Podcast. My name is Josh Baldwin, and I'm here today hanging out with my really good and longtime friend, OKC youth pastor, Jennifer Gordon. Jen, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Hey, Josh. Thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting to talk with you a little bit. And I was just sitting here thinking over the years of youth ministry that we've done together, kind of the different conversations that we have had over the years. And I was just like, I wonder what would be the most ridiculous thing we have talked about or experienced together in youth ministry, like thinking through student conferences we've been through, yeah. Like things we've seen. Yeah. Conversations we've had, like from anywhere from like really difficult conversations,
right?
That were like, you know, heart wrenching stuff.
Lots of those.
To,
yeah.
And then all the way to, why did this kid do this thing type conversations?
So dumb. Yes.
So many of those.
So many.
And it made me wish that we had just like kept a log, you know, like written them down.
Well, here's why we didn't. So that neither one of us get fired.
Okay. Fair enough. And you know what? On that note, let's stop talking about it and let's move on to something that won't get us fired.
No.
Hopefully. And we'll talk about something a little bit more serious. So we're in the Easter season. And if you guys are listening to this episode as it drops, then just yesterday was Easter and we got to celebrate Easter as a church. Last Wednesday, we got to do our first Easter experience for Switch. And because Switch is just better,
right.
Like we're just on a different level because of that, this Wednesday, we get to celebrate our second Easter service because one really isn't enough. And so we're going to celebrate two Easter services. It's going to be a lot of fun and really looking forward to it. When we're talking about Easter, we're talking about a lot of calling and sacrifice, because the reality is that Jesus had a significant calling when he was walking the earth, when he was living his life, and he fulfilled the biggest calling that's ever been fulfilled, but it did not come without significant sacrifice.
Right.
And so I was sort of thinking leading up to this and as kind of thinking through content for the podcast, and thinking about different things that I have gone through in my own life where I thought, man, I really felt called to step into this particular thing or do this, you know, this particular decision, this certain ministry. But my gosh, did it come with so much more sacrifice than I expected. Or things that I thought, hey, this is going to be a really good thing. This is going to be so full of blessing. And then I walked away going, that just hurt a lot.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of pain involved. And that made me think, I bet we have a lot of Switch leaders who have walked through something very similar, or maybe are even currently walking through something very similar. And so if you're listening and you're going, man, honestly, I'm walking through a really hard season, or I just finished walking through a really hard season, or hey, I haven't personally done this, but I have watched a family member or a close friend walk through something really hard. And it's got me wondering, hey, is there a hard season coming for me? And regardless of which scenario you find yourself in, I think that this is an episode that will relate really, really closely to you and hopefully help equip you and if nothing else, encourage you in the season ahead. So I asked Jen to spend some time today talking with me because my friend here has been through some stuff. And she has done so, what I'm going to say gracefully, even though she would probably say that there was some arguments to the graceful side at times, which I also understand.
Both and, yeah.
Okay. Both and, right? So, yep. Jen, what I would love is if you would take just a minute and share a little bit with us. We'd love to get to know you a little bit.
Yeah. So I grew up in the church. I'm a PK. My grandparents owned a couple of Christian bookstores, so I literally grew up at church and in Christian bookstores and started coming to Life Church as a teenager. And God just really took my parents' faith and kind of this near faith and used a dump trunk load of suffering to shift my heart and my mind to be what I could describe now as a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Not somebody who gets it right all the time, but man, just a daughter, a sister, a wife, a mom, a friend, a leader that is in love with Jesus and loves the word of God. And really, there was some stuff as a teenager, but kind of the most dramatic catalytic event, I was a teenager, I was in a car wreck and we were kind of sideswiped and I sustained a pretty significant spine injury. And over the next 6 weeks and 6 months, I began to lose function dramatically to where I couldn't walk. I couldn't make it. I was a freshman in college. I couldn't make it across my dorm room to the bathroom and nobody wanted to see me because they all thought I was too old for pediatric care and too young for any like adult surgeons and stuff. And so it was just this.
That's a great place to be.
Really? Yeah. Like, how can I be too old and too young? And nobody knew what to do. And it was, I mean, when I tell you that it was 3 years of hell, I don't mean it lightly. I'm just pain that I know some people listening will have experienced physically and some of them have experienced it emotionally, relationally. I was able to get some answers at the end, like I said, of about 3 years, which is a really long time when you're 18.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time when you're not 18, but you know, that was like, I don't know, math is hard, but it was a significant portion of my life to that point.
Yes.
And nobody understood. And people would say things like, if you just had enough faith, God would heal you. Or if you would repent of whatever sin. And man, when you are just in the kind of pain that is unrelenting and endless, that stuff can start to mess with you. And it started to shake me a little bit. And then I got married, have an amazing husband, was able to have two kiddos, which was a huge praise report with the first pregnancy. Second baby, I was doing great. I'm trucking along and I get sideswiped again and I get another round of physical sideswipe. Then in the course of about 3 years, we lost two of my husband's four brothers. We lost two other family members, a close friend. Our marriage almost didn't make it. And I had this massive physical regression. And I just remember thinking, like, God, where are you? What are we doing? You know, I had kind of gone through that as a teenager and like, God, where are you? And why aren't you doing something about this? And it was a fresh round to wrestle it again as an adult and messy and hard. And it's the kind of thing that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, but also the thing that I wouldn't trade for anything because of what God has done in me and around me and in my family and in our legacy. So.
Right. So you have been through what you just described. You experienced some really significant physical pain. So really significant injury as a teenager that I don't know if you mentioned this, but that pain has not necessarily gone away. Those are issues that you have carried into your adulthood and has been stuff that you've dealt with for as long as I've known you.
Yeah.
And so it's not like when you said 3 years, I recognize that the significance, you know, the level of that being really, really bad may have been, but the reality is that it has been way longer than 3 years that physical pain has been with you. It's been, you know, most your adult life, you know, all of your adult life.
All of it.
And then you described significant emotional and mental toil, you know, and pain that your family has experienced. And the truth is that you actually just shared a really small snippet of the pain that your family has experienced because I know that there are things about your life that I don't even know, and you didn't even cover the things that I know about. And so when I think about the, you know, how much pain there could be there, it's like, man, there has been so much. And as you shared that, and it just made me think, wow, that feels like a lot. And people listening could be going, man, that feels like a lot. And the truth is, it's not even the whole story.
Right.
And I know that there are other people listening right now that, hey, there's some people in your life that they know some of what you're going through. And they'd go, man, she or he is going through a lot. And the truth is, it's not even your whole story.
Right.
Because we often don't even remember our whole story. Like we experience pain that was traumatic throughout life. It happens. You go through things, you heal and you keep moving, but it doesn't mean that the scars weren't there or that something, you know, that you didn't still go through something. It's just, it's always coming and things are always hitting you. And so as I know that those who listen often are aware that I'm currently going through a pretty significant health battle, and I've had health problems for a decade, and I'm not new to the idea of physical and emotional pain. And so I totally recognize how much this can be debilitating, and it can really wreck you in just about every way. I would love, Jen, if you would share a little bit of, like, how do you get through that?
Well, first of all, I think if you are someone who's watching someone suffer, what you should not do is go and tell them the things that I'm about to say. I think the kindest and most beautiful thing that you can do with someone in extreme pain is just to look them in the eyes and say, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And shut up.
Right.
Because there is just something beautiful about that kind of care and empathy. And there's something really harmful that can happen when you try to shell out advice, right? Like, that comes from a good place of, I want to help fix it, but it can feel like a deeper punch in the gut. But for somebody that is hurting or thinks that it could be coming, because unfortunately, most likely it is, that's the nature of life and the broken world that we live in. One of the first things that I would say is to remember that our feelings are real, but they're not always right. And that's true for toddlers, and it's true for middle schoolers who just found out that their friend likes their guy that they like, and they're devastated. And it's also true for people who are navigating the continued waves, you know, of pain. And so they're a gauge, right? But it's not necessarily something that we fix or succumb to. So it's kind of two sides of the same coin. One is, our feelings definitely alert us. I'm either trying to do this in my strength, I'm not actually relying on Jesus, or am I not spending the time with Jesus that I need to wrestle through the process to come out on the other side with Jesus? Psalms 34 says that the Lord is near the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. That doesn't say that he fixes it or that it stops hurting, but it does let us know that his presence is with us. His presence is real. His presence is unwavering. And I think, like, I'm a parent of two teenagers, but when I think about when they were small, there's sometimes that they are just exhausted and hungry and they were kind of rude to me, or they skinned their knee and were in total meltdown mode. Mm-hmm. But what they actually need is a nap and a snack. And I just think, I'm not looking at those littles and thinking, get it together. My first instinct is to scoop them up and hold them to me.
Yeah.
And so I just think that our God wants us to come to him. Now my kids are big and not everything that they're thinking or feeling comes out. I have to create an environment where they still want relationship with me enough to tell me what's wrong.
Right.
And I think, for me at least, it is clinging to Jesus. It is filling my mind with scripture and with worship. Like, man, when I'm in the middle of it, I eliminate everything else. And all of it is Jesus. My music, my content, my podcasts, it's preachers, it's worship music. And I remember being young and thinking, I mentioned my grandparents in their Christian bookstore. I remember seeing, like, calendars or verses and quotes and thinking, that is so lame, or gosh, that is so overused. Right? But they're overused truths because they're true. And when you walk some life and some pain and recognize, oh, he didn't promise that it would always be easy, but he did promise he would never leave us, that he'd never forsake us, that he'd never abandon us. It's just a different mindset to get to be on the other side.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking, as you were saying that, Tim DeRemus was on last week, and he shared that he has multiple streams at which he's, you know, he's absorbing scripture and worship and prayer and, you know, life group through community. Like, he has multiple streams always pouring into him, because you just never know what's coming next, or you never know what season you might hit or what might try to take you out. And there's got to be more than one. You know, if you're continuing to be filled by multiple things, then something's always going to keep filling. And so I love that you shared that. It reminded me of this. When I first started to see, this has been probably a couple of years now, my counselor, her name's Holly, and she's really great, best counselor I've ever been to. First meeting, I was seeing her because I was dealing with such significant and chronic pain, that the pain was getting to the point that my mind, like, I couldn't deal with it anymore. And I couldn't figure out how to even think straight because I was hurting so badly. And I remember sitting down and just, she's kind of asking what's going on. And I'm like, I don't know what else to say. Like, I just kind of, I just constantly am in pain, and I can't escape the pain. And I feel like there's no way to get away from the pain.
Yeah.
I remember what she said. It was so simple. She said, "Josh, that sounds really hard. I'm so sorry." Mm-hmm. And that was it. Right. So it wasn't like she came at me. She's got a lot of education. She didn't come out with that education. She knows loads of scripture. She didn't come at me with scripture in time, right? She absolutely shared scripture that would encourage me and used her education to help me through things. But the first thing she said was, "Josh, that sounds so hard. I'm so sorry." Yeah. And I remember it, like, kind of rocked me, because while I knew people felt bad for my situation, I don't know that I had had somebody just, like, really bluntly put it that way. And especially somebody that didn't really know me yet, you know? And I remember just being like, yeah, you know, like, this is pretty hard. Like, I'm not loving it. And it actually allowed her to connect with me pretty quickly, because it felt genuine, right? And in time, I came to determine and realize that it was genuine. And I think, as a friend of somebody going through something, gosh, one of the most important things that you can do is make sure that they know that you genuinely care. Jen, if you're speaking to somebody that's, maybe they're really going through it, and this is to them personally, somebody that is in that season, in that dark place, is there anything that you would share with them?
Two things really jump out to me. One, in Hebrews 4, Paul writes that we don't have a high priest like Jesus who can't empathize with our pain and our suffering, because he experienced every kind of suffering that is here on earth. He was betrayed. He was abandoned. He lost loved ones. And he still took the time to weep for Lazarus, right? Like, he's about to raise his friend from the dead, but he still took time to feel his feelings with the people that were hurting. And so when I feel like my emotions are galloping away, I remember, okay, if it was good enough for Jesus, then it's okay for me too. But that he also is walking this with me. And the other thing, I think I've shared with you a couple years ago, I had two small kids, and I had had a pain spike so severe that I had not been able to get out of bed without assistance for 2.5 weeks. Like, when I tell you that the pain in my legs prevented my legs from holding me up, it is not an exaggeration. Like, to this day, in my garage, I have a walker and a wheelchair, because I never know when that kind of thing is going to strike. And I'm 2 weeks into zero relief. And I had just gotten off the phone with my doctor, and I said, I don't need you to worry about me being suicidal, but I do need you to know that I cannot continue to live like this.
Yeah.
And in that season of binging passages of scripture and podcasts and preachers, I heard this pastor say that pain is a reminder that we're not yet home.
Yeah. Like,
what I experience here on earth, even with the joy and the freedom and the life and the love and the forgiveness that I have from our risen Savior, I still only glimpse a fraction of my inheritance, which means that I don't get the guarantee that I will get relief here on earth, but I do know that I'm not home. And that when I get home, there's no more tears and there's no suffering and there's no grieving and there's no loss. And that, like, when I really need a reminder, refresh, reset, that's the thing that I cling to. What I experience here is just a shadow and a taste of what I get to experience there.
Yeah. You know, Jen mentioned that in that season, in that really, really, really hard season, it, you know, you text your, you got a hold of your doctor and said, hey, I'm not suicidal, but I can't continue to do this. And that's, I know it's a familiar thought for me. I think though, it's a really common thought for people going through the really, really hard seasons. And so that could be, again, that could be physical or it could be emotional or mental. For us, we've experienced that physical pain, but I've experienced some pretty hard emotional pain as well. Yeah. And I know for a fact that they both are equally damaging and, yes, and equally painful, really.
Yeah.
And I would say this, I'd go as far as to say this, you told your doctor, hey, I don't want you to think that I'm suicidal. I will admit right now that I have been in such a dark place before that I was concerned that that was what I was coming to.
It's coming, yeah.
And I remember thinking, I cannot believe that I've had that thought, because never in my wildest dreams would I have thought I'm going to hurt so long and so much that would feel like a viable solution.
Yeah.
And I remember it almost being afraid, right? Like it almost just being like, wow, that thought just entered my mind. And so I bring that up because I want to recognize that there could be some people listening right now and you're going, hey, that actually is a thought that's entered my mind.
Yeah.
Or is a thought that currently has been on my mind. And I just want to encourage you by telling you that, like, you're not by yourself and you're not alone in that, because that's such a darkness, and it is absolutely the enemy wanting you to believe something that's not true.
Right.
And it's I even think a little bit of our human response to not being able to bear that pain,
yeah,
on our own. And right, thinking, man, I'm trying to keep dealing with this,
right,
but I can't deal with it. And the reality is you can't deal with it on your own. You can't deal with it likely the way that you have been trying, whatever that suffering may be.
Yeah.
And so if you're in that place right now and you'd say, man, this is current, like I'm, yeah, really battling with this, I want to ask you to just end the podcast, hit pause right now, and you need to call somebody right now. So if it's a place that you find yourself in, I just need you to trust me that the last thing in the whole world that you need to do is go another moment by yourself. So right now, you need to call your spouse, or you need to call your youth pastor, or you need to call your best friend, somebody that, whoever it is in your life that you feel that you can trust. And if you're going, man, I don't know who it is, then I promise you, you can call your youth pastor right now.
Yep.
And they would love to walk with you through this. And I can tell you from somebody who's been in those seasons that it is not forever. And,
right,
and that it's with Christ and with the body of Christ and his people who were intended to walk through it with you that help you through those seasons, but it's never by yourself. Jen mentioned earlier that our emotions lie to us, right?
Yeah.
Because in truth, our emotions do lie to us. And man, they never lie to us more than they do when we're dealing with
hurting,
yeah, when we're hurting. Yeah. When we're going through trauma,
yeah,
you almost can't trust them at all. And,
right,
and so you have to have people around you who you can trust. And, yeah, so I'd encourage you that if that's the place that you're in, please make sure that you share with somebody. And if you're not in that place and you're going, man, I'm going through a really dark season, but I actually am not there, then I need you to share it with somebody anyways.
Right.
Because 100%. You do not need to go through this by yourself. It's absolutely not the will of God. It is,
right,
not the design for you to go through it by yourself. So cut that crap out,
yeah,
and let some people in, because there's too many people in this community that love you,
yeah,
that you can trust to walk through this season with you. So, Jen, as we wrap up this episode, you've shared a lot of your story, and I really appreciate you being vulnerable and being honest and with everybody listening, recognizing that not only have we been through some stuff, the whole point that we're sharing these things is because we know that everybody's going through some stuff.
Yep.
And some right now may be going through more stuff than others because the ups and downs and the ups and downs, the sure. hills and valleys, is kind of the rhythm of life.
Yeah.
And so, Jen, as we're wrapping this up, is there anything that you would share as words of encouragement or a point that would bring some type of conclusion or direction to those that are walking through a tough season right now?
Yeah. We have an enemy who isn't super creative, but he is consistent. Jesus mm-hmm. said that he was coming to steal, kill, and destroy. I think the enemy works through discouragement, distraction, if he can't destroy you. And so register, is there something that the enemy is after? Is he after my mind? Is he after my body? Is he after my marriage? Is he after my health? Like, what is that? So I can stand against that. But then also remember that Jesus kept joy in the midst of immense suffering.
Yeah.
Scripture says that it was the joy set before him that he endured the cross. Like, we were the joy. And bringing relief and restoration and healing to us and to the world is the reason that he went to the cross. It is the reason that we celebrated this weekend. It is the reason for our faith. But it's not just the restoration that we get on the other side of this life. It's here and now. And you and I have had lots of conversations where we can cling to joy in the midst of suffering, because that's exactly what Jesus did and what he died to give us. So don't let the enemy discourage you enough to think, I can only find joy on the other side of this. After this is over, then I will fill in the blank. Instead, choose joy in the middle of suffering. Tons of scripture about that. Tons of scripture about perseverance, that joy is what gets us, that stays with us through it and helps us really just cling to the hope that we have in Christ.
I love what you shared there. It made me think of one last thing that, again, this is back to counseling. Guys, been through a lot of counseling. So learned a lot. Counselors teach you a lot. Okay.
That's great.
So you didn't share this scripture, but you have it here in your notes, and it's what brought this back to me. My counselor, after my, I don't know, second or third session, and I'm in constant pain. And I had been in constant pain for months and it wasn't going away. And she said, I want you to journal this week. She said, the question is, can I continue to live in this pain and be happy? Mm-hmm. And that was the question. Can I continue to live in this pain? So like for the rest of my life, if this pain never went away, can you be happy? And I remember I told her right then, I said, that's ridiculous. The answer is no. Like, I can't do this. And I was almost mad. I was like, that's the dumbest thing that you've said so many smart things until just now. So I wrote it, I write the question down and I go home and I've got I'm not even planning to do it. I was just frustrated. I was like, that's so dumb. It's an easy answer. I'm just going to write yes. I'm just going to write no, I can't. And I'm in scripture, not looking for anything. Mm-hmm. And I read, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds.
Yep.
Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Yep.
Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Yep.
And I'm literally reading this from your notes because you wrote it down to share. And as I was reading through your notes, I was like, man, that was truly the scripture that got me through a challenging time. And I remember writing this journal entry and walking away with the answer being, yes, if this is the rest of my life, I can still be happy.
Yeah,
because I'm so thankful for what God has given me. I'm so thankful for all the many blessings poured out on me.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that I'm a son of God and that no matter what happens in this life, y'all, the next is coming.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so good. And so I don't actually have to wait, though, for the next one to be good to get to live in the joy in this one. And so even though I've continued to have health problems and the struggle has been real, I still get to have joy. I still get to come to be at home with my kids and experience joy and see my wife and have joy. And there's joy to be seen everywhere, regardless of my circumstances. And so I hope that if you're listening, I hope you're encouraged to know you don't have to wait on joy. And your circumstances don't even always have to change for joy. We are so thankful that you're a part of the Switch family. Look forward to having you all back next week. As always, thank you for joining us on the Switch Leader Podcast, where we decide today the leader we will be tomorrow.